I think I must move out of where I'm living. I have this problem with my landlady. It's not financial, no, it's more complicated than that. More difficult. More extraordinary. Looking back, I can't for the life of me see how I managed to get myself into it. In so deep. But here I am.
The July Ghost by Eyre Spyatt. Dramatized by Eric Pringle. With Kate Buffery and Clive Owen.
She, my landlady, was introduced to me at a party as having some profession or other, literary or academic, like nearly everybody I know. I didn't take it in. I was a little drunk. It was a party, after all. Let me help you to a drink.
Thank you. How did you know what I was drinking?
Instinct, I suppose. Call it animal instinct.
Oh, I prefer to call it sympathy. You're sympathetic. So, tell me about yourself.
I didn't want to. I didn't want to share myself with anybody. There was too much pain. But she insisted. And there we were. Me? You want to hear about me?
At parties, you have to talk to people, whether you like it or not. And you have to talk about something.
You're right, yes.
We've just been introduced. We don't know anything about each other. So tell me about yourself.
Why don't you...
I prefer to listen.
Well, I don't know where to start.
Just one thing.
Just one? That won't keep us going.
One thing to sum up your life as it is now, at this moment. An illumination. Go on. Tell me.
One thing. Well, I very nearly didn't come to this party, but I was fed up with drinking alone, so I came. I met you. There.
That's an excuse, not an illumination. You can do better.
You sound like a teacher. All right. One thing. Here it is. I think I must move out of where I'm living.
That's better. I knew there was something. I saw you across the room balancing glass, plate and cutlery with the skill of a conjurer. You were all alone. You looked miserable.
Did I?
You had the look of dignified misery, like a dejected hawk. Still have, actually. Worse, if anything.
Perhaps it's talking to a teacher.
Perhaps. Why?
Why what?
Why must you move out of where you're living?
I have a problem.
Prevaricate. What kind of problem? Go on, you can't stop now. It's not convenient. Is that it?
Oh, it's convenient enough.
So what's the matter? Tell me.
Someone I loved left.
Ah.
How could I possibly tell her? She wouldn't understand. And how could I possibly describe the total appalling unexpectedness of it? Arriving back and finding not Anne, but an envelope on a clean table and spaces in the bookshelves, in the record stack, in the kitchen cupboard. She must have planned it for weeks. She must have been thinking it out while we rolled around together. While she poured wine for me. While...
You're feeling anger. Rage, I'd say.
Rage? No. Not rage. What I feel is worse than that. What I feel is pure, childlike loss.
Oh, yes.
I don't know why I'm telling you.
Well, I knew there was something.
One ought not to mind places, their memories.
One ought not to, but one does. I know.
So, there we are. That's my problem. New subject, eh? Tell me about...
Some problems are capable of solution.
Everything is soluble at parties, including me.
For example, you could come and live with me.
I beg your pardon?
My lodger. I have more space than I need.
Do you really?
The attics are empty. Space going to waste, and my husband isn't at home much. We've not had a lot to say to each other lately.
Ah.
No, it's not. I don't mean... You could be quite self-contained. There's a kitchen and a bathroom up there. I wouldn't bother you. And there's a garden.
Is there?
Quite a large garden, actually. I'm in Wandsworth.
You're tempting me.
Well, the garden is there, waiting. Grass and trees.
I thought if I take up this woman's offer and Anne comes back, she'll find the door locked in her face. If I go to this attic, I can stop thinking about her coming back. Anne always said I wasn't decisive, but that would be a really decisive move. It would show I could live without her.
Well?
I'm tempted. I really am. Have another drink. F- For weeks after I moved in, I saw very little of my new landlady. Sometimes we met on the stairs. Her face was always the same, as if that prim and placid expression had been stuck on. I guess she was about 35. She was a very neat woman. Faded blonde, with her hair tied in a knot at the back of her head. Legs long and slender. Eyes downcast. Mild. A mild woman. That's what I thought. Then one day she came up to my room.
Am I disturbing you?
No, please, come in.
Thank you. Do you know what day this is?
Yes, it's Sunday.
And hot.
Very.
Yes, and you said you'd give anything in hot weather for grass and trees. Yet here you are inside on Sunday.
Well,
and you did offer to do some weeding and mowing.
Ah, I did, and you graciously accepted.
I did.
But here I am, mea culpa. Good heavens, what's happening?
Imogen! Imogen!
Oh! What is it? What is it? What's the matter?
Good Lord.
Oh, God, no, what happened?
Nothing.
Nothing, what do you mean, nothing?
I came to see you, that's all. I hoped you might want to see me.
Then why did you run? Why did you shout? Why did you shout?
I don't believe this. Why did you scream?
Her husband had come back. I watched them down the stairwell. There seemed nothing in his appearance to warrant her reaction. He was merely a balding, fluffy-templed man about her age, wearing a shabby corduroy suit and a cotton polo neck. When they looked up and saw me, they became reasonable. Her face returned to prim and placid, though I no longer thought her mild. She introduced us.
This is Noel, my husband.
How do you do?
Hello.
I'm sorry I screamed like that. It was because Noel came home unexpectedly and it startled me. That's right, isn't it, Noel?
You say so.
Forgive me. You must excuse us now.
I kept out of the way after that. Stayed in my quarters. But looking down from my kitchen window at the lovely overgrown garden she had invited me to enjoy, I felt a little grieved that they lurked indoors. Then around lunchtime they started up again. I crept onto the dark upper landing. That was a mistake. I should have kept myself to myself and let her do the same.
Answer me. You won't try, will you? You just go on and on. Answer me. You see? I have my life to live. You can't throw a life away, can you? Speak to me, for God's sake!
She was standing on the stairs, quite still, watching him rant and wave his arms with a look of impassive patience.
You do see I can't stand.
As if he was a nuisance that must end sometime.
I'll be in touch, shall I? You must need. I don't know. How can I know if you want? Oh. Well, if you need anything, you know where to get me.
Yes.
Oh, well. Might as well go then. Yes, I might as well.
Retreat, retreat. She's coming up here, now what?
Do use the garden if you want to.
Yes, all right.
And don't mind about our marital rows. I'm sure you understand.
Well,
things are difficult. That's all. Noel won't be back for some time. He's a journalist. His work takes him away a lot. Just as well, really.
Is it?
I think so.
You don't give much away.
I find I have to keep words in check. But that doesn't need to bother you, does it?
Oh, no, of course not.
We are what we are, and what is done to us.
Just so. So I took to sitting in the garden. It was a lovely place. Huge, hidden, walled, with old fruit trees at the end, a disorderly buddleia, curving beds of old roses, a lawn run to hay, a little path ran under the apple trees.
Can I help?
I'm trying to adjust your lawnmower, but I'm not very mechanically minded. How do you raise the blade?
I'll do it. Watch and learn.
They'll need to be high to make any impression.
The children get quite noisy on the common. The dogs too. I hope they don't bother you. Oh. There aren't many safe places for children around here.
They won't worry me. When I'm concentrating, I never hear sounds that don't concern me.
You'll be working out here?
I intend to. When I've got the lawn in shape, I'm going to sit on it. First, I shall read to get my mind in trim again after, you know, my loss.
It isn't very far to the road on the other side. It just seems to be.
I'm sorry?
The common is just an illusion of space. Really, it's just a spur of brambles and gorse bushes and bits of football pitch between two fast main roads. I hate London commons.
There's a lovely smell, though, from the gorse and wet grass. It's a pleasant illusion.
No illusions are pleasant. It's ready. Do your worst. I'm going in.
What did I do? Oh, well. I wonder what she does with her time. I should have listened when we were introduced. Perhaps she writes poetry. Then again, perhaps not. Women tend to write emotional poetry, and she seems too controlled for that. But what about all that screaming? That was hardly controlled. Come on, come on. Oh, good grief.
Pass us the ball, mister!
You startled me. Be careful on that wall. Why don't you use the gate?
It's locked!
Is it? So it is.
Can you open it?
There's no key.
It's a nuisance. Chuck it then.
Here you are. Oh, damn, I've knocked some apples off.
You're hopeless. Thanks, though.
I suppose she locks it to keep them out.
Yes?
I wondered if I might borrow some tea. I've run out.
Of course, I'll get you some. You're in the garden, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, I like it there. I've found a deck chair in the shed. I've brought it out on the lawn.
The lawn looks good now.
Yes, I surprised myself. Anyway, there I am, writing a little, pulling up the odd stalk. Not very productive, but pleasant.
Why don't I make a spot of tea? Bring it out.
This is pleasant.
It's getting hotter, isn't it? Oh, I'm sorry, they're just children. Don't know how you concentrate.
Well, it is difficult. I hadn't realised how many there would be. They come in all sizes and colours, don't they?
The children or the balls?
Both. Footballs, beach balls, tennis balls. Black faces, brown faces, white faces, jeans, skirts, football shorts, you name it, they come over the wall. Or they sit on the wall and shout. One or two even ask permission.
I told you.
If the gate was open, they could do the job themselves.
I prefer it locked.
Yes, but
I'm going in.
I've done it again. Well, at least she's left the tea. Oh, hello, where did you spring from? Are you wanting your ball? I didn't see one come over. Mind you, I didn't see you come over either. The boy was sitting in a fork of the tree nearest the gate, doing something to a knot in a rope attached to the branch. He wore blue jeans and training shoes and a brilliant striped T-shirt. Blonde hair fell over his eyes and obscured his face. Are you looking for a ball? I'm talking to you. Do you think you ought to be up there? It might not be safe. You shin that wall like a monkey. Goodbye. Nice grin. Friendly, but not cheeky. I liked it. Next day, the boy was there again, leaning back in the crook of the tree with his arms crossed, smiling down pleasantly and then staring up at the sky. You again? Hello? You move so silently. You are like a monkey. Have you lost anything? Cat got your tongue? Or have you no tongue at all? Is that it? Off again, eh? Oh, we're saluting today. Goodbye. Thank you. Good Lord, watch out. I almost mowed your legs. 2 days later, he was lying on his stomach at the lawn edge, his bare legs stretched out in the sun, chewing a grass stem and studying the ground as if he was looking for insects. He seemed quite at home.
Hey, I like your new shirt. The blue ships. Oh, that's right. Smile. I like your smile. I like you.
Whenever I spoke to him, he looked at me with intensely blue eyes under long lashes and smiled his warm, frank smile. I knew he shouldn't be there, but he seemed so harmless and considerate, there was no reason to chase him off. But the next time, I caught him walking out of the kitchen door. I thought then that I should speak to Imogen.
Did you want something?
Not really. I just wondered, do you mind those children coming in the garden?
Well, children must retrieve balls. It's part of being children.
If that's all they do.
What are you saying?
Well, sometimes they sit in the garden. I met one coming out of the house. He comes often.
Coming out of the house?
Yes.
That was probably a friend of my son.
Your son? I didn't know.
He isn't here. 2 years ago, in the summer, in July, he ran off the common with some other children into the road. He was killed.
Oh, Lord, good heavens, was he?
Instantly, more or less.
I'm sorry, I'm so very sorry.
It's my fault.
I know, but I might have said something being unaware. I wish you told
me. Well, I told you now. I don't talk to his friends, it's too painful. That boy you saw, the one in the house, could be Timmy or Martin. He might have lost something. What did he look like?
Blonde hair, slightly built, very blue eyes, about 10, I guess. Are you all right?
What was he wearing?
Mostly he wears a rainbow striped T-shirt and blue jeans. And football practice shoes, black and green. I say, are you sure you're...
Go on, go on.
But there's another T-shirt with ships and wavy lines. Whoever he is, he has an extraordinarily nice smile. A really warm smile. He's a nice-looking boy. Did you hear what I said?
The only thing I want in all this world is to see that boy.
Are you all right? Imogen? Good Lord. Now, wake up. Imogen? Imogen, come on. That's like... Can I get you something? Would you like some water? Yeah. Up you go. Come and sit down. Come and sit down. Here, drink this.
Thank you. Thank you. No, 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 no. Don't go, please. Please, please.
Should I leave you?
No. I'd like to talk. I need to talk. I'm a rational person, you see. I've always prided myself on that. Too rational to see ghosts.
Ghosts?
You see, I'm not someone who would see anything there was to see. I don't believe in an afterlife. I always found a kind of satisfaction in the idea that one just came to a stop.
But don't you think...
Don't please interrupt. That was for myself. It suited me not to believe. I don't think he... No, not he. I never dreamed that one day I might... need the belief I denied. And I always thought that ghosts were what people wanted to see or were afraid to see, you know? And then after he died, the best hope... this sounds silly. My very best hope was that I would go mad, so that instead of waiting every day for him to come home from school and rattle the letterbox... I might actually have the illusion of seeing or hearing him come in.
Well, that's funny.
Because I can't stop my body and mind waiting every day. I can't stop it. I can't let go.
Believe me, I can't
stop it. And his bedroom, sometimes at night, I go in, hoping I might just for a moment forget he isn't there sleeping. I think I would pay almost anything for a moment of seeing him like I used to in his pyjamas. With his...
Steady.
With his hair ruffled. And as you say, his... Oh, that smile.
But it's such a brilliant smile. It's the sort of smile that makes you want...
See it again. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. When it happened, they got Noel, and Noel came in and shouted my name, as he did the other day. Well, that's why I screamed, because it seemed the same. And then they said, he is dead. And I thought, is dead. That will go on and on till the end of time. It's continuous present tense. That's so, isn't it?
Well, I suppose...
Well, one does think of the most ridiculous things. There I was thinking about grammar. And I went out into the garden, and I half saw in my mind's eye a kind of ghost of his face. Just the eyes and the hair coming towards me. Like, every day, waiting for him to come home, you know? The way you think of your son with such pleasure when he's not there. And then I thought, no, I won't see him because he's dead. I'll be rational and practical and continue to live because one must. And besides, there was Noel. Noel.
I lost somebody too. Her name is Anne.
I got it wrong, you see. I was so sensible, and I think I was shocked because I couldn't get to want anything. I couldn't talk to Noel. I made him destroy all the photos. I didn't dream. You can will yourself not to dream, and I didn't visit the grave or send flowers.
Didn't you? But it might
there wasn't
have helped.
Any point. I was being sensible. I made myself sensible. My mind was perfectly sensible. Only my body couldn't stop waiting for him to come home. And now all it wants is to see the boy. That boy. The boy that you saw.
I know how you feel.
Oh, how can you possibly know how I feel?
I did not say then what I thought, that I might have seen another boy who had been given the T-shirts and jeans afterwards. The idea even crossed my mind that maybe what I'd seen was some kind of impression from her terrible desire to see a boy where nothing was. But I didn't say that either. Because the boy I'd seen had nothing terrible about him. No aura of pain. He was just a pleasant, courteous, self-contained boy with his own purposes.
Come in.
I wondered...
Yes?
You know what you said, whether it might be possible that what you saw was simply what I desired to see, a sort of mix-up of radio waves.
Like when you overhear police messages on the radio?
Yes, or when you get BBC One on a switch that says ITV, because there was your sense of loss too, wasn't there? You know, of,
Anne.
Yes. Well, that was what made me feel I could bear your presence in the house. And I wondered whether our mutual sense of loss might have brought us near enough, if I dare say so, For
our wavelengths to mingle.
Exactly. And it made you susceptible.
You mean that between us we have created, or we actually are, an emotional vacuum that must be filled?
Something like that, because I don't believe in ghosts.
Well, Anne can't be a ghost, can she? Because she's somewhere else with someone else doing things for him that she used to do for me. That is worse. She is worse.
Worse?
The loss of her is worse because she has gone voluntarily. Her absence cannot be loved because I know that for her, love is at an end.
Are you saying that your loss is greater than mine?
Yes, in a sense.
Don't be ridiculous.
I don't think I am ridiculous.
Anyway, I don't suppose you'll see anything now because I should think talking about it would stop any more mixing of messages, wouldn't you?
Perhaps. Yes, probably.
But if he comes again... You will tell me, won't you? Promise. You must promise.
Yes, I promise.
That's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
I shouldn't think I'll see him for dust now. But next day, I was sitting in the deck chair writing, and suddenly there he was, closer than ever. He was sitting on the grass beside me, his arms clasping his bent brown knees, that thick, pale hair glittering in the sun. He was so close, I could have put out my hand and touched him. But that did not seem a possible gesture to make, so instead, we talked. We had our first conversation. There you are. Football shirt this time, eh? Chelsea. Are you a keen supporter? You smile with a pleasant complicity as if we understand each other, and we do, don't we? I feel we do. You know, it's nice to see you again. There. You nodded. You hear me, and you nod. We're communicating.
Come in.
Oh, I'm interrupting your meal.
No, it's all right. Would you like some wine?
Yes, I would. Thank you.
I was waiting for you.
Were you?
In case. You know.
Of course.
Well, yes or no?
Yes, actually.
Oh. Oh, God.
He was in the garden again.
Oh, dear God. Oh, dear God. Oh. Listen to me saying God when I don't even believe. Just give me a moment.
I felt moved by her. And guilty somehow. And unwilling and afraid, because I felt myself becoming involved in her solitary grief. As if my loss and her loss had merged and become a joint folly from which it might be difficult to extricate myself. Standing there watching her cry, choking it back, smothering it down because she would not let herself go, it occurred to me that it might actually be dangerous to talk about the boy. Something dreadful might happen. But I had promised.
Here's your wine.
Thank you.
You must tell me, please.
He sat on the lawn all morning in a football shirt this time.
Chelsea?
And
what did he do? Does he look happy? Did he speak? Tell me.
No, he doesn't speak. He seemed very calm.
Calm? How can he be? Oh, this is terrible. This is ludicrous.
He stayed a long time.
There is no boy.
No.
There can be no boy.
No, but I saw him.
And anyway, why you?
I don't know. I do like him, you know.
Yes, he is, or was, a most likable boy.
Perhaps because we had been speaking of him, I didn't see him again for several days. Then one evening, I glimpsed him running along the landing in peacock blue toweling pyjamas. Or it might have been a tracksuit.
Those are his new pyjamas. Did they have white ribbed cuffs and, a white polo neck?
Yes. Look, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry.
Why?
Because I'm finding this difficult.
Yes, you must be.
It's hard to bear. Your anxiety, your disturbance.
I understand. But you will tell me. You will always tell me.
Yes, all right.
Thank you. Oh, God. This is so... Oh. There. All right now. Whatever happened to self-control?
Anyway, I'd better be going.
Clothes.
Clothes?
I wonder what you thought about his clothes. I mean, if there are ghosts, how can they appear in clothes that were burnt or rotted long ago, worn away by other people?
I don't know.
But in this case, so many clothes.
I must be seeing your memories.
That's it. I'm too rational to go mad, so I'm putting it on you.
You mean I'm more prone to madness than you?
No, to sensitivity. I'm insensible, you see. I always was a bit, and this has made it worse. So I'd be the last person to see any ghost that was trying to haunt me.
I thought we agreed that it was your memories I saw.
Yes, because that's rational, isn't it? As rational as we can be, considering.
Take it easy.
Oh, I can do that. I can do that easily.
Good morning. Young man, I get the feeling you're here for a reason. Your mother thinks you're simply her memory, but I don't buy that. You don't seem to me like anyone's tortured memory. You're too purposeful. Look. Whatever it is, can I help you? Is there anything I can do for you? Thinking about it, eh? It's a genuine offer. Nodding? Then it's a deal. So what can I do? Hey, where are you going? Wait, I'm not as fit as you. Oh, what a stupid remark. He's heading for the house. He's looking back to see if I'm following. He's going in. Going in. Straight through the French windows into the living room. Right, Sonny Jim. Here we go.
You're here.
Yes, as you see.
This is incredible.
Extraordinary. We're all in here together. Mother, son, and interloper. And I can see both, and he can see both. But she's looking right through him. She doesn't see him at all. He's looking at her, then at me, asking. For the first time, he seems anxious. What is it? What does he want me to do?
Are you all right?
Yes, yeah, I just didn't expect you to be here.
Well, I live here.
Well, I know, of course. And I know how often you sit there, looking at nothing. I just didn't see you at first. It was dark in here after the bright sunshine.
He's gone, given up.
What is it? Have you seen him again?
He came in here.
I didn't see him.
No.
Did he... this is silly. Did he see me?
I can't be sure, but he brought me in here.
Oh, what can I do? What am I going to do? I thought if I killed myself, I might be with him again, but that's just another illusion. This crazy situation is the nearest I'll ever get to him. But he was in here with me.
Yes.
Where is he now?
He's gone back to the garden. I can see him swinging on an apple branch. Forward. Back.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Looking back, I can't be certain when it was that I first thought I knew what the boy wanted me to do. I'm not even sure who put the idea into my head. I thought that perhaps it was the woman herself who wanted it. Although there was never any sign of her wanting anything except to see the boy. So probably it was him. Because once I had offered assistance, he became bolder. He appeared several nights in a row on the landing, wandering at will in and out of bedrooms, restless, agitated. He looked at me with questing eyes.
And suddenly it came to me that what he required was to be re-engendered. He wanted me to give his mother another child into whom he could peacefully vanish.
What?
You read in bed?
Yes, my new taste in literature. If you can call these literature, I keep them in a box underneath the bed. At night, one's more susceptible.
What is it?
Ina Twigg, Medium, The Infinite Hive, The Spirit World, Is the Life After Death. It's pathetic, really.
Give them to me. Those aren't what you need. May I sit on the bed? Please don't grieve, sir.
I can't.
You should allow yourself to be comforted. Here. Please. Closer. Come closer. It's all right. Believe me. Please. I've wondered why you had only the one son. Was it impossible?
No, there was no reason. No material reason. It's just Noah was away so much and, lack of inclination.
But if you were to allow yourself to be comforted, if you would let me comfort you.
Yes. Yes, I see. Yes.
Perhaps then you could hope for...
Yes. I understand. Yes, for comfort then.
We all need comfort. Allow me. Come on, Imogen. You must live. You must try to live. Hold me. Let us hold each other.
Please don't talk.
No, fair enough. I'll just touch you then.
Jesus! Shut up! For God's sake, shut up! I'm sorry.
No, it's not you. It's sex and death. They don't go, that's all. It's just that I can't afford to let go of this grip on myself.
Can't you?
No. I'd hoped for what you'd hoped for, but it was a bad idea. It's a bad idea. I'm sorry.
Yes, well... Damn. Oh, never mind.
Anne. Oh, God, Anne. You. Were you in there watching, were you? Or were you here on the landing? For God's sake, say something. You're as uncompromising as your mother, do you know that? Oh, don't turn your face to the wall. Please don't. Look, I'm sorry. I tried. I did try. Oh, come on. Please turn around. Oh, well.
Good night.
I must move out of here. I feel a fool. And we're hurting, not helping each other now. I've done my best. I've tried to get through, but it hasn't worked, and I have my life to live. This house is no longer a refuge. I need to go somewhere else and get myself straightened out. But what do I say to her?
Come in. Good morning.
Morning. I've been thinking...
Yes, I thought perhaps you might find it uncomfortable to stay on here.
Yes, that's right. I feel I should move on. I'm so little use.
It has to be better for everyone if all this comes to an end.
Yes,
No illusions are pleasant, you said.
It's true.
You're too strong for your own good. I'll go and pack. It would take years to break through. One would have to lay patient siege to her, conquer her defences one by one, and that's not my job. But I feel bad, even so. And I won't see him again now. He won't haunt me now. Will anyone else see him? Will someone else describe his t-shirt? His smile? Will he exist without me? Stupid word to use, exist. Hey. What do you think you're doing? Come on, Sonny Jim. Get off. Sitting on my suitcase won't make any difference, you know. It won't prevent me from going because I have to go. You see that, don't you? I've tried to get through, but I can't. So I'm no use to you. Come on. Come on, get off my case, please. Let me go. Because what are we in this house? A man and a woman and a child. And none of us can get through. You can't want that. You can't. So let me. Please. Close. We're so close, I could touch you with my hand. See? I could now, this moment, right now, put my hand on you. All through you. But I daren't risk finding you aren't there. Because I want you to be there so much. I want to be haunted by you. No, it's all right, don't move, don't move. I won't harm you. But I can't get through to her, do you see? Do you want me to stay, even so? If you smile, I shan't be able to go. You know that. Oh. Yes. I love that smile. I think I must move out of where I'm living. I have this problem with my landlady and her son.
In The July Ghost by A.S. Byatt, dramatized by Eric Pringle, Imogen was played by Kate Buffery, and The Man by Clive Owen. Noel by Gavin Muir, and The Young Boy by Oliver Cookson. The play was directed by Tracy Neal.